This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. What's happening? It's a Tuesday morning. It's already the 4th of July. That's why all that American anthem stuff was going on. Americans are celebrating their Independence Day today. Like, they should. I don't know if Americans should be celebrating very much at the moment, but let's just give it to them for a second. Shall we? Should we let them have this day? Is it? It's a public holiday and everything in America, right? So they're going to have one of those stupid, pointless weeks where they don't get any work done because everybody tried to do some work yesterday. Now there's the Tuesday holiday, and then there's going to be these weird 3 days after that. We've been there. Don't worry, Americans. We get you. We have those all the time. I've told you before, what you want is for these holiday days have got to end up at a weekend. They've got to end up on a Friday or a Monday, or else they don't make sense at all. All right. Well, thank you to Ben and to Mubs and to Sia and Amanda for handling the show yesterday. I wasn't feeling great. I kept waking up. You know, we have those like night sweats and you just...
Oh, the worst.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Especially anyway, in winter because it's cold and you got the sweats. And that's when you know your body just hates you.
Mm. Well, I always feel better when I wake up the morning after something like that because you feel like you've sweated out the bad. You know, that's... Isn't that what's meant to happen? Is like you get rid of all the...
Yeah, it's like a therapeutic soft ayahuasca.
Yeah, right.
It's just your body's natural reaction.
Yeah, and you're meant to feel better after that, and I did, and I've felt much better by last night, and then I thought, you know what, I'm going to be perfect tomorrow. Not perfect, but I'm feeling better. Mm. Got the right medicine, so all is well.
Yeah, I was telling you there's nothing better than a sedation vacation.
Sedation vacation.
That's it.
That's nice.
How is it that both of you are wearing t-shirts? You don't know it's like the middle of winter.
Yeah, but it's warm in the studio, dude.
Yeah, we're never warm in the studio. Well.
It's warm in here. I had a jacket on just now. It was too hot.
Ben, you have how many layers on right now?
Just two. Oh. One, two. Ugh.
I've realized I've got a major problem. I was looking this morning at what I was going to wear, and it's easy for me to choose clothes. Mm-hmm. My problem is shoes. I've got an obsession with sneakers. Dangerous sneaker obsession. If I had billions of dollars, all I would do all day is go around the sneaker shops and buy shoes. In Germany, there was this one mall in Berlin. They had, I don't want to lie to you, there must have been 30 shops just selling shoes. Oh, and most of those were just sneakers.
But it's become almost like a socially acceptable thing now, the sneaker obsession.
Yeah, I have not. I didn't buy any then, and I haven't bought any in the last 3 or 4 months. But man, I got a problem. I don't have any space to store them anymore. Storing shoes is a very, very complicated procedure. Nobody has enough space for storing shoes, right? I mean, I'm not saying everybody has thousands of pairs. You got a new pair the other day, right, uh-huh. Sia?
But that's why, for me, it sounds odd, but I keep mine in the boxes.
Oh, you keep them? Okay, so you pack them on top of each other.
And then
you write on the side what they are?
I sort of know by the box what it is.
Well, how many spare rooms do you have in your house? So there's your main bedroom, and how many other bedrooms are there?
Two.
Okay, well, then you got two potential rooms to store your shoes.
Yeah, but then you can't use them as a spare room.
Well, Gareth, I mean, if you say you've got an obsession, you've got to commit to it. What's more important, sneakers or your friends?
Oh, right.
My buddy, you're like our psychologist. You need to be our psychologist on this one. Is a sneaker obsession a dangerous thing?
No.
Exactly. You want to bandy around these big terms, but you can't commit to them. Turf one of the bedrooms and just put another cupboard in.
Yeah, have a
Or shelves.
Have a walk-in closet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the dream.
Just sneakers?
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Man, that would be sexy as hell. Can you imagine?
If you can, do it.
Here we go. There's your project for the weekend.
That's a fantastic idea. Of course, it's going to cost me money to renovate the room into a sneaker room.
Well, there's just shelves. You can get those hanging shelves. They're relatively inexpensive.
I could put them up myself, right?
Of course you could, Gareth.
Yeah. I could.
He's now getting
I could do
this.
I'm going to get the drill. I'm going to get what I need. I need the drill. I need some nail plugs. I need nails. I need screws. I need the shelves themselves, the brackets that you put them on. There it is. I got it.
Yeah, and then
it's
you
done.
And then every day you walk into that room.
Sneaker room.
And you've got certain strategic down lighting.
And screw guests. Who needs guests?
Well, exactly. I mean, in the world of Airbnb and Uber, why is anyone staying over at someone else's house?
Amanda, am I wrong? Who needs guests, right?
No, when it comes to shoes, who needs guests?
You also got an obsession?
I do. Like this morning, I know when I get home, I'm going to be in so much trouble because I literally pulled all my shoes out and I just ran out of the house.
You just left them all over the
so
place.
So they all over the show. And then I landed up wearing the ugly shoes because I couldn't actually just decide which shoes I wanted to wear.
And are you also like, I'm not just obsessed with buying them and having them. I'm also obsessed with keeping them clean.
Oh, yeah. So no, there's certain times you have to.
You will see, if you call me at a certain time, I'll be sitting there with a scrubbing brush and a little bowl of warm water and some stuff in it that I use to clean them.
Do you ever use toothpaste?
Are you meant to?
No.
A little bit of toothpaste, the best thing for white leather.
You're joking.
No, I use it on my really fancy golf shoes. I use a little bit of toothpaste.
Huh.
And it works like a charm.
Look at this. Tell me this isn't useful information.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I've got these golf shoes that literally were made by angels. And you can't just put an ugly rag to it.
No. Man, I'm obsessed with keeping them clean. There's this one pair of white shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I spend such a lot the amount of time I've spent in my life just keeping white shoes clean.
A little bit of toothpaste. Outrageous. Think about it, right? Toothpaste is meant to keep what white? Your teeth.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure it can do a decent job on your shoes too.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right.
I've never thought of that because I have the little spray thingies as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The ones that you buy from the sneaker shops. Yeah.
But I just spray and I leave it there. And then variety wipe of it things. Off.
Old toothbrush in water solution.
Guys, we've lost my balish.
No, you haven't. I just don't have white shoes.
You don't have any pairs of white shoes at all? I have a prejudice against black sneakers.
Why?
Don't know. Don't think sneakers should be black.
That is my life, though.
Because you feel they're trying to be too smart? Okay.
They're also... I don't like that. I don't know why. It's like a pizza with anything but cheese and tomato on it. It's a problem. It's trying to be something it isn't.
If people don't know by now, you're very particular about
it. I have serious problems. These are real issues. All right, everybody. So anyway, thanks for holding things down, Mubs, yesterday.
You mean Ben?
Yeah, well, both of you did.
Sia's right here, too.
And I already told him.
Yeah, I already had a thing.
I told him, you came in. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay.
How was yesterday? So did you have a full-on day in bed?
I stayed in bed until 10. Then I went off to the doctor, got checked out, got some medicines,
mm-hmm.
came back home. Oh, no, I did buy a Woolworths chicken. Just the chicken. Then I came home, and then I ate the chicken like a ravenous animal.
Yes. Just picture the leg.
With like chicken grease and just the whole... There was a carcass left. And then...
Did you treat it like meat and then you saw?
Yeah. Then I washed my hands.
Wow.
I cleaned myself up. Wow. I got straight back into bed.
But you were sending emails at a point.
Yeah, in the afternoon. I can't do nothing. If I do nothing for a day, that would be hell for me. It would be absolute hell. I cannot switch off completely. So, yeah, there were a few emails in the afternoon. I'm sorry.
Mm.
But by then I was feeling much better, and I just thought, you know what, you got to do something productive with your day. And it irritated me that I couldn't do any exercise. And I think that's part of my problem, too, is I came back from Germany and I just hit the road running. I didn't give myself any time to acclimatize.
Yeah.
And you need like a day where you don't do a lot. Oh, man, I was jamming stuff in. I was trying to get things going at work. It was just too much. You got to chill. I hate to say it, but I have no ability to turn on to low speed.
Yeah, you just almost contradicted yourself there. You said you can't not do anything.
No.
Then you just said you need to chill.
No, but I have no ability to do that. So I've got to figure out how. It's a balanced thing. Maybe I should go for therapy.
That's when you ask for bigger doses at the doctor. Well, something to just totally wipe you out.
Yeah. But then I'm going to feel worse because there'll be 2 days or whatever where I've done nothing.
I guess I'm slightly Whitney Houston-ish.
Yeah, you'll feel Whitney Houston-ish. Crack is whack, yo. Anyway, I mean, I know I'm a week late, but how was everybody's week? I mean, a day late. How was everybody's weekend?
I worked. So yeah.
Fun?
Oh, yeah. Well, we discussed the heck out of my weekend, so I'm done now.
Well, just give me the brief synopsis. Missed it.
Sia recorded his secret sexer who was snoring by his side.
You recorded the sound of him snoring?
Yeah, it's not exactly snoring. It was like it was noise pollution.
Like an earthquake.
Oh, horrible. Horrible.
I've got a dog that does that.
And that's exactly why we aren't speaking currently.
Oh, it's got that bad, huh?
Yeah.
And he has no idea he's doing it.
Well, he's sort of blasé about it. He's like, yeah.
Yeah,
it's
so
not a big
you
deal.
Just got to deal with it.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but then most of yesterday's show, we realized that snorers are the most arrogant, self-indulgent people on earth.
Yeah.
They can, you can get a sleeping Jesus. It's like a mask thing that a snorer wears, and it can stop them from doing this. If they really care about you, they will get that thing, and they will not have to put you through. I love this dog, right? Carl is the cutest little dog in the world. There are moments where I fantasize about killing him because of the snoring. So I understand how people must feel if they've got a partner that they love or they used to once love and now they just put up with.
Mm. Yeah.
And this person's lying next to you. And it's women as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they're lying there and they make this unholy racket the whole way through the night. And it almost builds up and gets worse. Got to do something about this. Get yourself the sleeping Jesus.
Mm. Does Carl have a sleeping Jesus?
No, I don't know if they make them for dogs.
Well,
I wish I'd trained this animal to sleep in another room.
Oh, yes.
Maybe I still can. When I was away in Germany, my sister looked after him. She said he slept in a basket. He was very well behaved. So maybe I just got to train him into doing that.
Or you just close your door.
Oh, that's, then he's going to scratch at the door. Yeah.
Well, then just have like spikes in the door.
Oh.
or honey.
No.
Let me see him scratch honey.
Ben's got very innovative solutions this morning to all our problems. All right. I don't know about you, but I also didn't watch any news programming over the weekend. And I'm so happy I didn't. Because then I turned it on last night and I saw Vuyo Mvoko at the ANC's policy conference. Mm. These people have spent a week talking. And probably talking the biggest lot of shit. And you see they all get together. They have no idea of what the real problems are that are being faced by average South Africans. They don't know anything about what most people are going through.
But that's not what this is about. This is about the ANC ruling the ANC.
Yeah, well, they don't have control of the
ANC. No, but it's like Inception, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we live in this country called South Africa. Mm-hmm. They live in this world called the ANC.
That's true.
And you look at everything that's being discussed, it's like, well, Jacob Zuma's biggest issue is his detractors, telling people they must not speak out against him. And then it's just,
I heard Fekile's comments yesterday.
Oh, yeah. He had to sing for his supper by telling people that they can't do this and that.
That is exactly what he was doing, singing for his supper. His usefulness is that he is the man-child who stirs up the crowd.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
Well, that's what he gets paid for. At least he's doing his job.
Right. Greg says, by the way, guys, if you have a sneaker obsession, go hard. What's your most prized sneaker, Gareth? Mine is a Yeezy Boost 350.
Oh, you see, that's the downside of getting into this whole sneaker game.
Nobody knows what that is, Greg.
Yeah, when you get a guy like Greg, he's got to throw it in your face.
Well, the Yeezys are like Kanye West sneakers.
Yeah, so they probably cost about...
Ugly as hell, but they're very, very expensive.
They probably cost about a car installment.
You see, and then there'll be something new every 3 months.
These are nice. Flex used to have a pair of these.
Okay, I take it back. The Yeezys are actually getting prettier.
Yeah,
But another thing about a sneaker obsession is you can't just say what shoes you have. You've got to also say how long you waited outside of a shop for them.
Oh.
Right, you want to get into this, Greg? You want to go there?
Oh, no.
You want to go out? You want to go outside, take this outside?
Wow.
Cash me outside. How about that? Well,
how about that?
I know I'm going to make some enemies now. I don't have any sponsorships, so I don't have to be loyal to anybody. I buy all my sneakers and I pay money for them, right? Yeah. So, I never used to have a preference. I used to like Nike and Puma and Adidas and all of them equally. I used to consider them all to be possible purveyors of fine sneakers.
Mm.
And I thought, you know what? You can't discriminate on the basis of brand. Sometimes they have great designer, and that great designer comes out with a line of shoes. I don't like big, bulky shoes. I like them to be streamlined. Mm. I like them to be simple.
Low profile.
Low profile. Correct. Thank you, Ben. And I kind of like Adidas more than anybody else.
Huh.
I'm going to get into trouble for this because I don't normally just, get out there and choose a brand over another one. I like Adidas more. I've got a slightly greater obsession for their things than I do for any of the others. And Amanda is nodding her head, so she's in agreement.
Yep, no, Adidas is amazing.
Is it true, Ben, that Adidas and Puma were both founded by a pair of brothers?
Yeah, they didn't like each other much.
What's the story here?
Adi was obviously the main brother, Adidas, and then Rudolf was his brother who had Puma.
Why not Rudy's then if Adidas and...
Oh, I don't know. Look, I don't know the full story, but I gather that's the crux of it. And then they didn't like each other too much, so that's why they had rival brands, and then they just did their own thing.
I always thought that that was an urban legend, so it's really true.
No, there were two brothers.
Germans, right?
Germans.
Well, that's why these Germans are so obsessed. I was telling the mubs before you came in. I went to this mall in Berlin. They must have had 30, 40 sneaker shops all over the place, next to each other. Right next to each other. They're all selling shoes. Shoes everywhere. I don't know what my favorite pair. I like white ones as well. I love a pair of white sneakers.
So you don't like high tops, essentially?
I got a pair of those.
See, I went through a big high top phase, and then high tops just suddenly
weren't... Yeah, I'm not wearing them anymore.
Like, I don't know what happened.
They
just stopped being...
Now you feel like cool. An idiot if you wear them, right?
No, you know what? Like, there's still nice high tops out there, which I still go for, but they seem to have died.
Mm. Oh, isn't there kind of like a revival, Sia, with... The youth, you youngins.
It was like the big bulky thing, you know, like with the hip hop heads. But yeah, I get what they're saying. Like it's sort of dying out. It's now more about like these boost shapey thingies. It's about like that foamy thing.
Yeah, it's about memory foam. About looking more athletic than you really are.
Yeah,
that's what sports actually really comes down to. Yeah,
must look like you just.
The other kind of shoe that I really love, and I bought a pair of these overseas, is a pair of Onitsuka Tigers.
Yeah, those appear to be your favorites.
Love me some of those.
Is that because you think you can do kung fu?
No, I just like them. Again, they're low profile.
See, if you wear those, it looks like you can get into a street fight with Uma Thurman and a
That's
sword.
That's true, yeah. Yes.
Ashley
says, for me, it's diesel sneakers all the way. Greg says, I got my Yeezys online, Ben. Eat a dick. Let's do this, Gareth. I'm outside. I've been waiting to cash you outside.
All right, Greg.
Greg. I think I may have some serious competition on this obsession of mine. Ankia says, Ben's angel made golf shoes aside, white leather shoes on the gentle cycle in the washing machine with a white towel and then in the sun to dry, and they come out perfect.
In the sun to dry? Wow, you are just living dangerously. Because if you could dry white things in the sun sometimes, you might get like a yellow sort of blemish on them.
See, that's why in like just white clothes are a lot to handle. Yeah, you're also just one scuff or one
beetroot
stain away.
And it's ruined.
Right, exactly.
That's kind of why I suppose white in my mind is a superior color for clothing and shoes, because if you can actually wear them, you have... an ability to look after them, which nobody else does.
Maybe it's the OCD.
There it is. That's it. Supernova says Puma for casual smart, Nike for fitness, Adidas for old school, Reebok for never ever. Yeah, Reebok, geez. I mean, it wouldn't touch any of their stuff.
Well, Reebok also reviving. You know, obviously, they're a big CrossFit brand, so they're a very technical shoe nowadays, but they've also got that whole retro thing because they've always had that.
And you know what? Sneakers have become so... acceptable for wearing with just about anything now.
Sure. Because they're so damn expensive. That's another thing. It's like, well, my shoes cost as much as your French, Italian, brogue, leather, loafer, whatever's.
Right.
And therefore, I will wear them.
All right. Well, maybe we should, this whole week we'll dedicate to sneaker obsessions. We'll all wear a different pair of sneakers every day, and we'll take pictures and let you decide who's got the best taste.
Oh, well, that's every day for me.
Well, there we go.
Don't have to really.
All right. So that's our game for this week. All right. And we'll let people decide which ones are the best. All right, Amanda. Yes.
There's this amazing, amazing sneaker store called Shelf Life.
What, here in
Rosebank?
Shelf Life?
Yes, it's opposite Capital Underground. I don't know if you know where that is.
No, you're too cool for me. Tell me where that is.
Sure.
So what do they do? They just got a bunch of...
But like, it's sneakers on steroids. Like, it's just insane.
Oh my God, I'm on the site now. This is going to be a problem.
It's amazing.
I'm going to have to shut this down while we do the show, otherwise it's going to be an issue. Damn. What's going on with me?
It's a phase.
If I only could... fall in love with a human like I do with shoes.
Humans are overrated, Gareth.
Humans are overrated.
Let's not allow your and my cynicism to dominate.
Really. Humans are overrated.
But I think that if I can feel this way about shoes, I should be able to feel this way about people. Oh, man.
No, because listen, the thing is, sneakers aren't going to be needy. Sneakers aren't going to, like, tap you on the shoulder and go, "See, you're wearing me tomorrow. We haven't worn me in, like, 3 days.
Yeah. Mm. What's going on? Do you prefer another pair of me?
Tell me
Why did you even buy me if this is going to be the way it is?
Yeah.
This Greg has got a problem. He says, look up the New Balance 998 Horween Leather Limited Edition. Yep, I have a pair of those as well. You also have NMD Red. Don't buy anything other crap sneakers. Yeah, the NMDs. I know what you're talking about there, dude. Those are Adidas. That's... guys, we've just... half the audience is just tuned out.
I'm instantly... like, as soon as you have to call a thing by its...
Code
and not like, its...
who knows the code
brand,
except,
I'm gone.
Except Greg and me. We're the only two looking up NMD, whatever the
number is. I don't know what an X6750i is. Like anything,
you don't go into a cell phone shop and go, can I have a white cell phone? You give them a model. It's like anything you have a preference in life. Of course you know what the model is.
A white cell phone.
Don't make out like Greg's a weirdo.
Yeah.
It's like, hi, can I have a laptop, please?
What color laptop would you like? A blue one.
Can I get that thing that goes vroom vroom with a steering wheel?
Yes.
Go in there with spec.
Apparently, Supernova says that there's a pair of sneakers in that Shelf Life shop, Nikes, that are 35,000 Rand for the pair.
Girl.
See, that's just to get people into the shop. Jeez. That's just a marketing angle.
Bryden from Cape Town sending me pictures of Reebok saying they do have some decent sneakers. Could do without those. Yesterday, Ben was going on about this great place I think you should visit in the summer in Thailand. You'll apparently love it. Pabalo here, one of the many quiet listeners on the show who doesn't message us.
Oh, right, where everyone's getting murdered.
No. Yeah.
No, it's a great place. Totally go.
Gareth.
You will not like
it. No, you should definitely
Gareth, listen to yesterday's show. I really do sell it very well.
You should definitely go.
All right.
There was a woman whose body was finished off by lizards there.
Oh, for the love of God. Yeah. Really? You want me to go there? You people are so... you're setting me up.
That's not funny.
It is funny.
That's not funny, he says as he cracks up.
No, like, obviously the dead woman's not funny, but because Gareth has a fear of lizards.
Left hanging in the forest.
Oh, my God. And in the tree, did they carry her up into the trees?
No. So it was a murder. And they left her hanging. Yeah. And then the lizards just had her for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh, I think that would be...
and a little side snack.
You want to humiliate me in death? Oof. Have lizards eat me.
Oof.
I'd be fearful even though I'm dead.
Oof.
All right, let's get into something a little more pleasant, shall we? Let's hope it's pleasant. The news with Mabale Moloi. It is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. I had an amazing Colcacchio pizza over the weekend. And it was, of course, a margarita with nothing extra except some chili on the side. And it was perfect. It could not have been better. And I don't understand you Philistines who put stuff on pizzas. But they have things for you, even though you're a bunch of ingrates. You don't know what you got till it's gone. Take away the margarita part of the pizza, you don't have a pizza. You're eating someone's casserole or something.
Oh.
Yes. So think about that before you criticize. This is those of simple taste. The pizza was invented to be simple. And even though I am... yeah,
so was the car, Gareth, and I look at it.
Even though
you've got to move on in life.
I am a perfectionist and a traditionalist about the pizza. You're allowed to have whatever crap you want on your pizza. And these guys at Colcacchio's will help you. They'll help you to ruin a perfectly good pizza if that's what you choose to do. Isn't that nice of them? Let's get into the news. Here is Mavs.
Well, I can't promise you good news.
All right.
Ratings agency Fitch have wagged their index finger at us and have issued a stern warning to South Africa, saying that the country needs to better manage its state-owned entities. Really?
You mean that they're all working? And we could run them even better into profit?
This follows on the news that SAA is receiving yet another bailout, 2.3 billion rand in cash, with no stringent conditions attached.
Hmm. It must be nice. You just run the company into the ground and you just keep getting handouts from government.
Mm. According to Jan Friedrich from Fitch Ratings Agency, he said, Eskom, Jan Friedrich. Eskom needed a cash injection back in 2015, and SAA now needs government support. The fiscal risks are heightened by expected weakening of state-owned entities. Existing state-owned entities' liabilities are more likely to land on the government's balance sheet. And he concluded by saying that the stock of liabilities will rise faster than expected. SAA is reportedly bleeding nearly 370 million rand a month.
Oh, really?
370 million a month, while relying on government guarantees of about 20 billion rand to stay afloat. The airline posted a net loss of 1.9 billion rand back in March of last year. But hey, the finance minister believes that this bailout will have no impact on the fiscus.
Yeah, but the finance minister doesn't know what he's talking about. He's only been in that job for how long? And the only reason he got the job is because he's there to help the Guptas get their hands on whatever money they need. So I don't believe anything the finance minister says. That would be like me taking Sia's opinion on rugby and Ben's opinion on musicals. That's what it is.
To get
Malusi Gigaba's opinion on the finance of South Africa, the economy that we exist in, is outrageous. It is like asking your five-year-old child whether or not you think that a black hole's event horizon is going to change your perception of time. I'm not interested in his opinion. And I'll tell you something else. I've been running this business for 3 years, right? Let me tell you something. Running a business is very, very tricky. You've got to balance the books. You've got to employ just the right number of people to do the right amount of work. You've got to get big sales in. You've got to be able to do some amazing things. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But keeping your head above water is the only way you could judge a business. If a business doesn't make money, it isn't a business. It's a hobby. And hobbies cost money. They don't make money. Now, if SAA is losing that kind of money every single month, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They've almost got a monopoly. There is no reason this company shouldn't be making cash. No reason. There are airlines all over the world that manage to run at a profit. In fact, there are people who started airlines that had no money to begin with, that are now multimillionaires because they've run them properly. How can it be? What kind of a standard do we set for ourselves that you can run a company at a loss of some 300 million rand a month? Think about how badly you have to manage that business. How stupid you have to be. It's just stupid. There's no two ways about it. You just should not be running a business. You shouldn't be running you shouldn't be selling cigarettes and panhandling on the street if you run a company that badly. Madness, Dudumieni. I'm looking at you. And all the state-owned enterprises. Because which of them is run properly? I hear Transnet made a profit. Maybe they're the only ones. Any others? Crickets.
No.
All right.
But like, if you keep getting money from your parents, eventually your dad said, look, you're not getting any more money from us. What are you going to do? You're going to go to work, right? You can get a job.
You're going to make your own way.
You have to make something if that is the ultimatum. You can't just sit around and go, oh, well, shit, that's it. I'm not going to just decay. You go get out there and actually do proper stuff.
Because you got to eat. So you got to stop taking handouts from your dad. These people who are running state-owned enterprises have to grow up and move out of their parents' house, is what you're saying, Ben.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, what else, Mubs?
EFF fighter leader.
EFF
leader Julius Malema is back in court today. He will appear in the Newcastle Magistrates Court.
What's he in for?
Well, you know, he allegedly incited and instigated the EFF to trespass and to illegally occupy any vacant land. He has previously appeared in the Bloemfontein Magistrates Court on similar charges, and today he will be in Newcastle. Malema is accused of calling for land invasions during the EFF elective conference in Bloemfontein back in December of 2014.
Yeah, just remember, if you're one of those people who thinks that land should be redistributed or should be taken away without compensation, then the entire concept of ownership of land is unimportant, which means that whatever land you end up with is just as easily going to be taken away. So what's the point of possessing anything? Just think about that before you start thinking about land occupation. And I include Julius in this. I mean, he had all those properties. Remember, there was that one house in Sandton? We've all forgotten how Julius was enriching himself when he was in the ANC Youth League. You remember? He had tenders going to friends of his.
Mm.
He was supposedly building roads that never got built to townships and informal settlements in Limpopo that never got roads in the end. And Julius was building that huge mansion of his here in Sandton somewhere.
Yeah, look, Justice said it last week when he said that the land issue is, it's going to heat up and it's going to get very tricky. And you know what? People who hold opposing views on the land issue are never going to meet in the middle ground. It's just never going to happen.
No, that's
now,
exactly right.
Patricia de Lille has promised residents of Cape Town their housing needs will be met soon. The mayor of Cape Town asked for more time for officials to find tangible solutions to the residents' problems.
Yes.
This is after four people were arrested yesterday in connection with violent protests, Imzamoyethu protests in Hout Bay.
Right.
The residents began protesting over the weekend already, claiming that they were promised formal housing by the mayor following a devastating fire back in March, which left thousands of residents displaced. So the mayor finds herself in a bit of a tight spot now, asking for more time for officials to find the solutions that they promised to the residents. She said people are frustrated, but as we have said in the past, we are trying to rebuild and reblock people living on a mountain, and it has been difficult. The protesters saying now they're officially tired of waiting, and yeah, it's just one big mess after another. Oh, and then Robert Mugabe apparently has money to spend. The Zimbabwean president said yesterday that he is going to be donating $1 million to the African Union, hoping to set an example for African countries to finance the AU programs. For years, about 60% of AU spending has been financed by donors, including the European Union. Mugabe now saying that Africans need to handle their own. He has led power in Zim since independence from Britain back in 1980 and has said reliance on foreign funds allows big powers to interfere in the work of the AU. So
he's right.
President is going to be dropping dollars like they do in a strip club.
Well, he's right. I mean, how can you have the AU financed by the EU? That seems ridiculous. That's like your daddy paying for your bills. So if you're going to say, I'm moving out of house and I'm an independent now, daddy, I'm not going to rely on your money, you have to pay for yourself. Same as SAA.
Which all means you got to do some work and actually start building things for yourself.
Right.
Creating stuff.
It is zigakily. All right, let's get to Ben. Let's see what's going on in some sport. Thank you, Mubs. It is Tuesday morning. It's the 4th of July, by the way. So if you're American, happy July 4th. Yeehaw! Let off some fireworks. Do whatever you do.
They get the day off, right?
Yeah.
Would they have had a long weekend? Or
No, they would have worked yesterday because only South Africans take 2 days when we're meant to take one.
Yeah. Right, so Thursday, first test. England versus South Africa at Lord's.
Yes.
This is the cricket test everyone's been waiting for. Because all that white ball stuff, well, it's good and all, but every now and again you want to sit down for the real main event.
Yeah, you've always been a bit of a purist in this sense. You accuse me of being a purist with pizza and sneakers, but this is you, Ben.
Well, there's a big difference between being a purist in your sense and me just appreciating something that is superior.
God,
and that is test cricket.
Exactly how I see it, you asshole.
No, you like something that's basic because you're just so basic towards certain things.
Oof. Okay.
Anyway.
I'm not even going to argue with you. Just do your stupid sport.
So, Joe Root will be captaining England for the first time. He took over from Alistair Cook. Alistair Cook is still in the team, but now Root has to have, well... You've got to think that England are favourites going into this test series, mostly because, well, South Africa have got their own troubles. We'll get to that in a second. But when you go through the batting lineup of England, and the fact that Gary Ballance could be batting number three.
Who?
Gary Ballance. Gary New Ballance could be batting number three is a real issue.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I know this guy is averaging about 100 in his county team right now.
Uh-huh.
But he's shown time and time again he's not quite at this level. He's like the Bernard Dean of English cricket. But they seem to be wheeling him back out every time he has a decent knock in some village green somewhere where everyone's drunk on cider. So he'll be in there. Johnny Best, of course, just does brilliantly against SA the whole time. Ben Stokes, a fantastic cricketer. Moana Ali has his moments. But outside of that, well, I don't know how strong this batting lineup's really going to be. We got Ray Jennings' son, who now plays for England. He'll be at the top of the order. Joe Root, of course, is a star player, but now that star player is given the captaincy. That seldom works in international cricket. Just look at Sachin Tendulkar. Just look at Brian Lara. Just look at Hashim Amla. Sometimes captaincy can really stunt your star players. So I'm not being overly optimistic here from a surfing perspective, but you can look at this team quite critically. Then with the ball, you've got Toby Rowland-Jones.
What a name.
Well, he just sounds English. He's there just because of his name. Stuart Broad's come back from injury. Jimmy Anderson's come back from injury. Mark Wood has not played test cricket in about 3 or 4 years. Sure, they've all got some either white ball success or traditional test pedigree, but I'm not sure how big the form is right now for this team. Mm-hmm. On the South African side, well, Faf du Plessis is still in South Africa. That's because there's been rumored complications around the birth of his first child. So he shall be staying here with his wife to make sure everything's going to be run nice and smoothly.
Well, I hope everything goes okay.
Yeah, you kind of hope for his sake. Because one thing about being there, well, the actual birth takes place, but the next 2 weeks must be so vital. You know, you're back home for the first time.
Well, imagine how his poor wife would feel if he wasn't here with her. That would be awful.
But that's what happens all the time. I mean, I was having this conversation with my mother last night. And back in the day when you used to go off on boat to cricket tour, I mean, you were gone so long, you were actually having other people's children. And it was just, you were so out of touch with these things.
I'm more amazed that you and your mother still speak regularly after, clearly, she left you in the wild and you were happy with that.
Yeah,
it's nice
great.
To know,
Ben. Yeah, we talk cricket a lot. So looking at the Proteas team, Dean Elgar has now taken the captaincy. So he'll be the 12th captain post readmission in Test cricket for SA. And then, well, you've got a potentially brittle batting lineup because it's going to be very tough against the new ball. We've got Heiner Kuhn as a debutant, but he's in great form right now. Amla, of course, is the star player. People are pitching him against Root as who will be the best in the series. But then you've got JP Duminy. Can't say there's a lot of confidence there. But then Temba Bavuma and Quinton de Kock, they do offer some solidity, sort of the lower middle order. But then where do they go from there? Is Chris Morris going to get the nod? I think he should. I really do. I think he's a good player. Tennis De Bruyne's in the mix as well. Unfortunately, he got a duck in the warm-up match, but he'll probably make the team as well. But then the big fitness issue around Vernon Philander, he has come back from an ankle injury. And as I said last week, Vernon is slightly higher in the BMI, so it'll be interesting to see how he does recoup from an ankle injury, because he'll have to bowl a lot of overs at Lord's. Now, Lord's is a flattish kind of deck, which means that you can get a chance of a draw, but the Proteas record there has been shit hot over the years. Since 1994, they've played 5 test matches there. They've won 4 and drawn the 5th, which basically means that England are crap at this ground, which can be further reinforced by saying the last 6 test matches, they've only won once. That was against New Zealand. So, all to play for in this opening game, because it is such a pivotal thing going to a 4-test series, any test series for that matter, that first test is huge. You win that, well, then, you know, you've got the player and you can take it from there. England obviously can be very dangerous, more sort of up country, especially with the swinging ball. But if South Africa can get this first one here, it is just so crucial. In rugby news, well, the British and Irish Lions are sweating on a massive All Black backlash. Kind of like if you get a cheap shot in the school bully, and then the bell rings and then you got to go back to class, you spend the rest of the day shitting yourself. The bully's going to come back and beat the living crap out of you. That's pretty much going to be the All Blacks on the weekend. I reckon they'll win by 15 plus. They are a good side. They're the All Blacks after all. They haven't lost at home since 2007. They lost for the first time since then on the weekend. So these guys are going to come back. Without Sonny Bill Williams, he's been banned for four weeks. But still, they've just got players coming out of every
Remind
orifice.
Remind me why there. He was banned?
He shouldered a guy in the head.
Oh, that's...
that's
rough.
It looked malicious. It looked like he was trying to end his career.
Wow.
That's the thing about spines, Gareth. They're not exactly the most durable things at pace. So that'll be a big game to watch over the weekend. Of course, Super Rugby will be back as well in greater sort of gusto. But all eyes are on Wimbledon right now, because that's what's happening in the tennis world. And the British press, being a bunch of dicks that they are, well, they made Venus Williams cry yesterday for
what?
A long period. So you know Venus was in this car crash, right?
Yeah.
And then this guy died.
And the stupid British press brought this up at a press conference?
Well, look, the more you dig into the story, the more it looks like it's been Serena's fault. Sorry, Venus's right. fault.
So looks leave like, Serena out of this.
I mean, Serena's just trying to have kids. So I'm doing a John McEnroe there. Look, it looks like Venus's fault, right? These are all the reports are kind of getting towards now. But she hasn't been formally charged with anything. So her lawyers are addressing the matter. But she is free to play at Wimbledon, right? Mm. So 20th Wimbledon is a massive milestone for the 37-year-old. And yesterday she won her first round match over Elise Mertens. But then the British press, you know, they're like a dog with a bone. And they were constantly asking her about this whole thing, how she feels about it emotionally, about this whole car crash. And of course, someone died. And Venus was trying to be professional about it, but eventually she did break down. But she did have the courtesy to go back into the room after sort of gathering her thoughts. And they were just all over her on this.
What do they want? Do they want an emotional breakdown?
They want smutty headlines. You know what the English press are like. And they want her to cry. Of course they do. Because everyone then goes on, Venus breaks down at Wimbledon is a great story. Rather than Venus addresses media with confidence. It's not a big story.
Right.
Well, Kevin Anderson, South Africa's only hope in the tennis. He won yesterday. He beat Fernando Verdasco, which I always believe is a great name for a hot sauce.
Yeah, it does.
Imagine having tacos. You know, not so great. Can you bring me the Fernando Verdasco?
Right.
Then it's a meal. Yes. Andy Murray, easy win against Alexander Bublik. Dustin Brown, that German guy with the dreadlocks, he's through. Although he's saying that the serve and volley game is being taken out of Wimbledon, and that will be a huge loss to the game. I totally agree with him. That really prick tennis player Nick Kyrgios.
Yeah, he's the guy.
God, I mean, this guy's a disgrace.
You introduced him to us.
He's a disgrace to millennials, and I don't use that term lightly. So he was having a roughish day against Pierre-Hugues Herbert from France.
I'm sorry?
Pierre-Hugues Herbert. And he was 6-3, 6-4 down, but he wasn't even trying. He was just being his usual prick self, and then he called the trainer on. He had some sort of phantom injury, and then he just thought, oh, screw it. I'm going to lose this match. I'm not be bothered. And he just walked off. That was it. Done match. And, well, there's no other real big thing. Oh, yeah, Stan Wawrinka lost yesterday. So that's a big seed out. Otherwise, all the other seeds had a pretty decent run out. In the women's draw, well, at the moment, because Serena's not there, because no other real player stepped up, it's difficult to see who the big favorite is. So, yeah, we'll see how that develops. And that, Gareth, is pretty much all for the sport at the moment.
Okay.
More tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Ben. It's time for us to get Anthea Gardner and see what's going on with the economy. I mean that in a broader sense, and then, of course, your money more particularly. Let's not waste a single second, shall we? Is she on the line? Fantastic. Everybody's excited because we like to catch up with Anthea, especially if she has good news, which let's hope she has. No idea yet, but here we go. Let's give it a try. Join in singing the song, even if you don't have any money. It gives you something to do. Well, that didn't go so well.
No.
As soon as we're joining in.
All right, Anthea, you join in as well. She goes, ha ha. We know you sang the original one. I know you're not ashamed and shy. It is your song, after all. Everybody. Singer's leading the clapping. The crowd's going wild.
She was hot for the morning.
And she does.
It's very nice. All right, Anthea, we don't want to get carried away. What was yesterday like in the markets?
I do have some good news today, believe it or not.
Thank heavens.
So we had a fairly decent day. Mm-hmm. The all share was up just over 1%. Volumes were well below average, though. You know, it is an unofficial long weekend in the U.S. Their stock markets were open for half a day yesterday, closed today. But I suspect most traders would have taken the day off yesterday ahead of Independence Day today.
Right.
So, of course, it's going to be slow again today. Unfortunately for the Rand, we started hitting the skids again, trading 13.20 to the U.S. dollar at the moment. Oh. It already crossed 17 to the pound last week. And yesterday, it closed above 15 to the euro, which is the worst level we've seen since December of last year. I mean, it did come close in May, but didn't actually close above 15 to the euro. And I think there's a couple of things driving the rand at the moment. So partly it's an emerging market sentiment story where the emerging market currencies are being sold off. And then also what's coming out of the ANC policy conference is uninspiring, to say the least. And then we also had manufacturing PMI print yesterday at a contractionary 46.7 for June compared to May, which was 51.5. For the second quarter on a whole, the PMI averaged 47.6 compared to the first quarter of this year at 51.9. So really just moving backwards. I mean, it's probably not news, you know, we already know we're down that slippery slope. I think the thing is local demand, you know, it's just persistently low. And then what's happening now is that exports are also coming off. So whereas before, I think we probably, I would say, almost could depend on global growth story pulling us up. But even that's going to come. And not that it's going to come to an end. I don't want to say that. But it's not going to have the positive effect of holding us together as it did previously.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hate being realistic. are there any things that create opportunity? I mean, there are people telling me over the weekend that even in the worst of situations, there is someone making money somewhere, right?
We made money this week.
Correct.
Does that make you feel better?
Tell me where. Tell me where and how.
So we bought Exxaro and Telkom a week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Exxaro we bought at about 85 Rand. Yesterday it closed at 95 Rand 60.
Woohoo!
Yay. And then even the Telkoms, we bought them at around 65 Rand a share. Mm-hmm. And remember, we had that 2 Rand 90 dividend, so of course the share fell. It's now trading at 63 Rand. So effectively, we're in the money because we're still due the 2 Rand 90 dividend. But I'm going to hold on a bit longer because I want more than, 2%. I actually want the full 4.5% yield. Right. But at least we're making a bit of money on the side.
Excellent.
And then there's a little bit of good news. I mean, we always talk about how bad the SOEs are, but yesterday Transnet reported full year profit of 2.8 billion Rand. Who would have thought? Wow. So they're seeing an improvement mostly from cost cutting. And then that was boosted by revenue increase of 5.3%. And they're doing better than expected volume. So that's quite nice. The CEO was saying that in the next 7 years, they're going to spend 229 billion Rand on an expansion drive, which will be great because that's exactly what you want. You know, we've seen the business confidence figures decreasing for the last 6 years, actually. And so it's nice to see a state-owned enterprise being able to actually expand and to help to grow the economy. This is exactly what we need, a company that can actually make a profit.
That would be nice.
Mm.
I'm still bothered by the fact that SAA had to be bailed out for another 2 billion rand or whatever it was. Anthea, what is the basic what's the basic prerogative of a business? It's there to do what?
To make money, right. To engage with shareholders.
Right. where am I getting this wrong? SAA keeps being bailed out. What does that mean to someone like you who invests in other people's businesses? What are you looking for? Are you looking for someone who keeps needing bailouts?
Oh, definitely not. You want a company that can make a profit, can employ people, that can grow and expand. By the way, just on this SAA bailout, I mean, everyone's calling it a bailout, but actually, you know, the money's not... It's not going to help SAA at all. All it's going to do is go from SAA, from Treasury, into SAA's bank account and into Standard Chartered's bank account because SAA owes so much money. And basically, they had to get the bailout because Standard Chartered said that they were not going to renew the loan facility that they'd given to SAA because they don't believe that they're worthy creditors anymore.
So we're paying debts that were incurred before.
Exactly.
You're chasing bad money with bad, effectively.
That's right. So you're not even, it's not even going to help SAA. It's not going to be a recapitalization of the business so that they can then expand and grow and pay salaries next month. There'll be another issue. At the end of July or August, there'll be more drama.
All right. I'm sorry I even brought that up. We were doing so well.
We were, weren't we? Okay, company news. Let's talk company news. Brian Joffe and Kevin Hedewick's Long for Life, remember them? They listed a couple of months ago, three or four months ago. They announced yesterday that they're making their second acquisition, a company called Holdsport, which is listed. Think Sportsman's Warehouse, Outdoor Warehouse, Performance Brands, and Second Skin.
Good.
Holdsport has a market cap of 2.5 billion Rand, and Long for Life will buy the entire share capital at a ratio of 10.44 Long for Life shares for every one hold sports shares. So they haven't said yet what price they're going to offer the Long for Life shares, because only then can I figure out, you know, whether it's at a premium or a discount. But the shares were trading higher yesterday, both Hold Sport and Long for Life. At one stage, Hold Sport was up 5%, but it had a bit of a retracement at the end. And then both shares closed 2.5% higher yesterday. So what initially was Long for Life initially was just Brian Joffe going to the market saying, please give me 2 billion rand. I want to make investments. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. Maybe I'll buy Sorbet. We'll put it in a cash shell. We'll pay ourselves 5 million rand a year. And, well, hopefully we'll create value, is now looking like it actually finally is creating value. I mean, it's a really difficult one to talk about because, you know, right at the beginning we said, you're not buying on any fundamental investment. You're buying Brian Joffe's reputation as a deal maker, basically.
What kind of an interest did they attract when they decided that they were going to start this business?
Oh, they were oversubscribed. So they went to a couple of friends and family, one or two banks, and said, please give us money to invest. And we thought as individual investors, retail investors, that we'd get access to the capital raise, but they actually didn't take our money. They said, sorry, we've raised the money we need to. We don't need yours. That's pretty much how it went.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so well oversubscribed.
All right, Anthea, anything else you want to throw in?
Yeah, Asian markets are mixed this morning. There's really absolutely no companies reporting in South Africa this morning or today or this week even, I think. So I think it's going to be a nice quiet day in the market,
all right,
especially with the US closed.
Well, thank you very much. That's all we need to know for now. Anthea Gardner will return tomorrow with the same time, different news, and hopefully some more useful insights into what we should be doing with our money. Your money, other people's money, there is some money. Believe it or not, there is a little bit in the system. We've just got to figure out how to make it maximized and useful to the rest of us. All right, it's all coming along. It's happening this 4th of July on the Gareth Cliff Show, cliffcentral.com. Good morning, 7 o'clock on the dot. You think
you'd ever allowed it. This is cliffcentral.com.